Hey, thanks for listening to Made In. This podcast is hosted by me, Jasmine, and my better half, Evie. And we are two Asian Canadian women in Toronto talking about current events, culture, and society moments. We hope that Made In is a safe living room space where you can feel like you're sitting on the couch with us and joining in on the conversation. Thanks for being here.
Hi, B.
What's up?
Hi, everybody.
I finally feel we're like at home where we record virtually. It feels right.
No, this is what we do. We've done this forever for years. And so we always do this sort of like roundup at the end. Things we've learned. Yeah, I'll get into my thoughts. But how did you think this year was yourself? 2-3 words.
Ooh, I'm really bad at like summarizing the year. Okay, it was... I feel like it was a chaotic year.
Yeah, fair.
Definitely. Chaotic. It was a lot of like self-reflection year, more than usual. And like big like life changes. I feel like we both kind of had like big life changes and like personal, professional.
Totally.
Yeah. I guess those will be kind of like my top words. What would you do? What would you say?
Well, I was going to say, I think chaotic's better, but definitely messy, really messy year, definitely. Changes, like evolve, hopefully evolving is the word, because evolving is always better than changes. Change is okay, but like, you know, I think it's better to be like, hey, I'm evolving or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, lots of like self-reflection, which I'm really happy about. But obviously the results of that might not be like the happiest things. Like, oh, realizing things about myself, mm-hmm. knowing how I am as a thing. It's good. It's obviously good so you can change or whatever. But yeah, it's a lot of that. So many things happened.
I know. I feel like this was, all the years are kind of like blending together now. But like this was definitely the year where like we needed the Lunar New Year to like reset the new year for us. And I feel like even then it did... like the first half of the year was like really exciting, but then like the latter half of the year was just it was such a contrast. But this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I haven't been able to talk to anyone about it. But to your last point about like all the ways that we're like realizing and stuff, and like I've identified that I'm very I'm a bit too self-aware, or I'm too observant in social situations or whatever, where I feel like I drive myself crazy, like overanalyzing or like overthinking a lot of situations. And I really envy the people, and this isn't like a jab at anyone, but like people who are a little bit more like aloof or aren't as aware of things that happen, because I feel like that actually helps me maybe think less and like enjoy the moment, so I don't have to be like analyzing every second of the situation. And funny enough, I listened to like Emma Chamberlain's podcast, and she recently did one about like, is ignorance really bliss? And then she kind of touched on the topic. And I don't know, like I do like that, you know, I can acknowledge like little detailed moments to, you know, read people's body language or like, you know, make sure that everyone's taken care of. And I know that's something you and I definitely share in like a party setting or in a social setting. But what do you think? Do you think like it's nice sometimes ignorance is bliss when you're a little bit not too aware of what's going on? Or would you prefer to have the self-awareness, but maybe to a point that it kind of drives you crazy sometimes?
No, I mean, this is such a good point, because I think actually my whole life has been really like I'm super hyper-vigilant as a person. It comes from the way I was raised, the way like my grandma told me how to be a good person, woman, those kind of things, right? Like be observant, you know, you're not the center of attention, make sure everyone has their shit. Like, and even the way that we eat, like and I think it's fine. The way that we retain these things is I think it's important to be hyper-vigilant sometimes, or just like vigilant, because it makes you have empathy and stuff like that, right? Like, so when we're at dim sum, we're always giving food to people. It's never about like even shares. It's always like, did you eat? Like, that's just how it always is. You don't leave an empty plate. So from when you're young, you're really just on it. And I think a lot of families in like Asia or whatever that have that really those customary things. And I think it's expanded when you're a woman or femme, like basically like you are looking out for other people. Mm-hmm. So I do totally agree with that ignorance is bliss. I do think those people can be, I do have envy, like I envy that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, wow, I wish I could just like go into a room and just be like, wow, everyone's just so
enjoy. Yeah. Like, the moment. And I can't not do
be
that.
Self-conscious, not be like, oh, is that person like, are we going to talk or like, should mm-hmm. I make combo, blah, blah, blah. But I'm still always that person. That's like my comfort, which is unfortunate sometimes I find.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I don't hate it. I'm learning more and more to like find ways to control how much I need to be there for someone or how much I would overthink. So like, I'm trying to know, like, that's part of my character, but like, I don't need to be talking to everyone who looks lonely for 5 seconds. Like, mm-hmm. I can't be that person, which I always was. It's exhausting, honestly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but definitely am jealous of those people.
I know. It's like, I just want some ignorance.
Easy. Yeah. I know. It's so easy.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like maybe people who are a bit more aloof in those situations, maybe they do acknowledge it and they see it, but they choose to, you know, only let it allow themselves to get wrapped up by it, only to like an amount so that you're not jeopardizing yourself. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that there is like a fine balance. Cause like, you're right. Like, I feel like there are times that I acknowledge it and like, it's in the back of my head, but it's about like, okay, Jazz, like, don't let that overtake your moment now. Like, maybe talking to this person. Sure. Maybe when this conversation wraps up, be in the moment, but then maybe you can tend to like a certain social situation that was like bothering you or whatever. So like, maybe there was like a fine line, but I think when you brought up that, like, it was the way that you were raised, I think now that I'm kind of in this like age, I do more and more realize like the misogyny in like the way that we were raised in a way that like, let's say your dim sum example, like your mom or your grandma is going to be the first one to be making other plates full, prioritizing the eldest son or the dad or like the men. And one time that really struck me, because like to me, it's like so embedded that like when my parents have people over, my mom is the last one to sit at the table because she's still either cooking or plating or whatever. Yeah. And Leo and I went over for my mom's 60th birthday. Nice. And on her own fucking birthday, she was just like cooking and she was the last person to sit and eat. And then Leo felt just so uncomfortable the whole time. Yep. Like, oh, like, can your mom please come sit and eat? But to me, like, I knew that was annoying, but it was also kind of like common sense. Like, oh, of course, like, my mom's going to sit there. Like, she's not going to sit and eat. And like, I kind of hate that we were like embedded in it. And like, I feel like more and more I'm realizing all these, like, I'm having a hard time differentiating, like, what are these like traditionally normal, like, womanly roles in a household versus like what I grew up in my culture.
Yeah. Like, I think for our, like, I think me and you can relate and many other people in our culture. Like, I don't think it's just as easy as saying like, definitely the pay disparity. Like, that's something we all see. Like, I think everyone sees it no matter what culture. But obviously within every single culture, there's like these intersections where like, I think for us, it's like starts out so young that you see your parent doing it and you see what it means to be a good example. Like, I remember when I've on one side of my family, all my cousins are male and I'm the only female and I know I'm like the least favorite, and that's, I've already established that. So I have no hard feelings. Yeah. I'm okay. I just like know that I just show up and they're like, wow, this crazy binge just walked
there
in.
She is with another tattoo.
Exactly. And like, I mean, maybe you can say I got these because I was like, I don't feel like this is my, like, you know, every time I go there, there's like huge judgments, whereas like my cousins could do whatever they want, and even the ability to just say whatever they want, you know. Young, like, there is a degree of like, you have to respect your elders, which I think we all do, but my guy cousins are way more able to be like, this happened to me and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, yeah, it's funny. Like, all uncles, all the aunties, blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't feel comfortable saying it because I don't feel like that stage is for me. Like, I wasn't raised to be like, you should hold your tongue and then you can tell me later, is kind of stuff like that. Right. So those are kind of like silent ways of telling you that you're not, and then you normalize it. Right. So like, now when I'm older, I'm like so much learning to fight for myself in terms of like spaces, and not just like, you know, screaming and saying, just being there and being present, but also just like fighting for the fact that like, hey, I don't need to overcompensate someone else. Like, if there is a dude like who seems like confused or whatever, like, and I think this happens with I immediately am like, oh, my trigger and my safety is like, I got to go help right now. But like, I've been trying to do a lot of work to just like let people figure out things themselves. Like, I think that is doing a disservice to people, but it's doing the hugest disservice to me because it's exhausting. It's not like never do anything for anyone. It's never that extreme, but it's like, please do it in a balanced and weighted way. Like, do not throw yourself and your plans out the window and everything, because you feel like this is your idea of safety, like you need to help them or else like your grandma's going to come over or something. So like, I don't know, but I think for us, it's like so much internalized stuff. It's not just about like not saying as much. It's just a lot of stuff, right? Yeah.
And I know you've shared stories before of like, you're kind of like the go-to family member to renew everyone's health cards. Like a lot of the responsibility that is always on you, but I'm sure you don't see all your like male cousins having being held to that accountability. So like being probably like the youngest and also the female, like there is always those like unwritten rules about like, it's your responsibility to do a lot of like the small stuff that builds up.
Definitely.
But yeah. I feel like also, I'm definitely not generalizing every Asian growing up is like this, but like, I feel like me personally, like immigrating is such like a traumatic experience for like everyone around. And I feel like there's so much like tension, and also for your parents when they're in a foreign country, like that subconscious stress that gets like transcended to the kids. I feel like I just like never been able to fully enjoy being a kid or be like have that innocence.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what kind of tried me. And like there's this word in Korean called nunchi, and that basically just means like having common sense and being able to read the room. And I feel like I had that at such a young age that I never got to just like enjoy being in a space just as me. I'm always like thinking about my responsibilities, like what should I be doing? So I hope that for both of us next year in 2023, we can just be ourselves in a space and not think about anything else around us.
And like be a child. Like I think that's the biggest thing. Cause again, I don't think that me and you had many of those experiences because of how much you have to like help out, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like at the same time, you actually lose a lot of those experiences. So like, again, I'm rediscovering hobbies. Like I'm like finding games to play after like I'm done work. Cause like, I actually don't know what I like, because I think, you know, when you go into a room and that there's that one person that's so aloof and you're like, you're so childlike.
So carefree. Yeah.
Carefree, childlike. Like you don't feel like things you say could, you know, be weird or random or like a nuisance to people. Like, I wish I had that. Too bad. Too. Like though, like right at the beginning, I think that was just like
not for you.
Speak and do things to help others and to progress the situation, not just to be in like a living situation to be like, hey, I saw this, like blah, 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 whatever. So like, I think honestly, a lot of my female and femme, like people in all parts of Asia, really, like they do feel that heaviness. And I think more so, like, I'm not saying that we're all really quiet. There's obviously so many cultural differences, but in my particular situation, like from Hong Kong, like whatever Chinese, like we're really, especially my own family, we're pretty subdued people. Like we don't hug, we don't do any of that, right? So we're not loud. We don't even have yelling matches. Everything is just like done silently through like anger or just silence and blah, 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 blah. So like, I am just like so used to not sharing anything and stuff like that. So that was my biggest change this year, I think, is just like learning how to balance those two. Like just putting myself first is just so hard. It's always been so hard. And I think I'm doing something for myself, but really I'm like thinking through other things like, oh, this actually helps because like, oh, my mom's going to come down, I can help her with this. And then
you're like compromising or like thinking of the reasons why it's not just me.
I'm like, do I need to go shopping? Like, oh, I want to go shopping. I'm going to do things for myself. But it's really because all these people are converging at the same time and I'm actually helping them subconsciously. It's just like something so hard to break out of, like so hard. So I'm happy you brought it up though.
Yeah. Do you feel like you do that? Let's say to your example, you want to go shopping to buy yourself something because for whatever reason, but then to make yourself feel okay about it, it also needs to check off like two more things of like, oh, actually ripples effect to like helping this, that, or I can do it, show up for this person at this situation.
No, like I think I don't know if you're like this too, but like I give myself pain, tribulations, like, oh, it's so cold, but I have to.
Yeah, walk. You and love then, being in like a sauna for like, I bet you stay in a sauna for like 30 minutes.
I do. I'm like, I need to feel this pain so I can enjoy things. And I feel like that mentality is so fucked up in this society. Like,
I can understand what you mean though.
Yeah. But in my family, like that's what we do. It's like you work for rewards. Like you work for time to chill. Like you don't deserve these things unless you do these things. And like, I think that's me at work. I think that's me with a lot of different things. Do you think you're like that?
Yes. I think I've definitely gotten better. Because I don't know. I don't know if you remember like mid-20s. Like I used to like go to school, but then also had a full-time internship. And I used to work on the weekends. And like honestly, when I had a full-time job, I used to like do energy exchange and like a spin studio. So I would wake up at literally 5 a.m, go to the spin studio, do a spin class, go to work by like 8:30, do a full shift until like 6. Sometimes there was like an evening event, so I stayed there until 8. And then I go for drinks with girlfriends and I'd be home by like 11 and I do it all over again. Like, I don't know how I had the energy and the strength to do it, but that made me felt like I was succeeding in life, or like, you know, and then because of doing that, like I was deserving of rest. Like to your point, like I needed to like endure something hardship to be like, oh, now I finally deserve this, where I feel like I, that was like past me. And I feel like recently I've been able to, because like the last 2 months I was wrapping up like my freelance projects, and then I got like kind of paid out for the 2 months. So I didn't really need to be working. So I kind of gave myself some time to like relax, but I was also like so anxious being like, okay, I kind of still need to be online in case someone asked me to do something. And like, you know, maybe I probably should be looking for a job. So it was a daily struggle every day to be like, okay, like, can I actually relax? But like, I kind of need, because I couldn't be fully in the moment being relaxed. And now looking back at like the month of November, like I was able to give myself the time to just chill. Like, I took myself out on movie dates, like by myself for so many times. Like, amazing. I finished the entire Game of Thrones series.
Nice.
And like 8 seasons of like an hour long episodes.
Love it.
And like now looking back, and it's also like, there's so much anxiety in that, right? Because I was like, oh, but I do need a job.
I need to start looking.
And like, I would intermediately like do it here and there, but like, I kept like praying, being like, okay, I hope that I can look back in this time and be like, oh, I was able to enjoy this time and like relax and like for whatever reason. So it is a constant like guilt battle, being like, can I actually do this? Like, can I enjoy this? But I feel like I've beaten myself up less the last few months than I would have had maybe like a year ago.
Yeah. I think the word that we both need is like learning to indulge, and indulge isn't always a bad word. Like, I'm not going to do things all the time, but like yesterday I had guilt feelings about ordering out. Like, I had a little bit of food at home, but I just was in a mood. I was like, oh, I'm not in a good mood. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, food. Stop, go home, make your fucking food, even though you don't want to make your food, and just like do it from there. And I was like, you know what? And I actually have to like text my partner. I'm like, oh, I'm having a predicament. Like, I feel like I don't deserve it, but I really want it. And I go in my head, right? And like so much. And literally they're just like, just get it. Like, you do so much shit. Just get it. Like, who freaking cares? Like, you know what? Like, you're not going to waste the food. So that's fine. I'm not. I still have food. I'm going to use it. But like, it's weird that we have to put ourselves through these like, we create these things, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't think we need it. And then you're like, okay, now I can go for drinks and go crazy because I did blah, 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 everything for everybody. And now everything's out of the way and I get to be there. But I really realize, like, when I'm even a little bit tipsy, I have these like more open emotions, and it's not ever like that good. And like, I can see like there's like an internal rage in there for sure. Like, I might say something really snappy and like be really rude and like for no reason, like not even who I am as a person, but maybe it is because I have these thoughts that I'm like carrying, like, ugh, why is life so easy for you? Why are you strolling through this world, like showing up whenever you want, you know, like it makes me so enraged. But like, at the same time, it's like, I'm doing it to myself, but it's like because of our family and our culture, like, right? Like, it's just so many heavy generational things, like, and definitely it's generational, like the immigration part for you. Like, we did all this, you carry this on and allow the men in your life or whatever to like really try your best to succeed and raise them right and blah, blah, blah. But for you, like, you got to be an adult now, like, you got to figure it out now. And so, like, I actually used to think it was a good thing to be this person. I thought it was great. I thought it meant me, like, I was capable and independent. But sometimes those words are just really good words for saying, like, we rely on you, but don't go too far. And like, now you have all this internal pain on yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Like, I've been realizing more and more that like the internal dialogue that I have with myself is absolutely crazy. I was amount of things that I observe and I psychoanalyze in situations, my friends and like relationship. And I was like, I need help. Like, I think way too much. Yeah.
It's like, you can't turn it off. And that's why like people hate me for this. And I know everyone hates me for this, but people need to understand this is like everybody minus my family. Like, literally I do not text people back when I don't feel like I'm okay to, because I actually feel like I already had like 10 internal dialogues with everybody and I will forget that I didn't message them. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to say this. But I can't. I'm like so exhausted right now because I'm thinking about it. Like, so like that's where my brain's really at. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really trying to be better at responding and like all the stuff. So I was like psychoanalyzing myself. Like, what am I like having a problem answering people? Like, mm-hmm. It's not that I'm thinking of what to say. I know exactly what to say. But then I had thought about it so much that I was like, oh, I thought I sent it. I didn't send anything. So, like, that's...
You visualized it, but you didn't action it.
No, because I was like, oh, yeah, like, got to get back to them. That'd be really important, blah, blah, blah. But then I guess, like, my heavy exhaustion is just, like, thinks it's done. Like, it's just, like, it's done. And so I'm just like, wow. So when you say you're having, like, insane internal... Like, I'm happy that we're both recognizing this at this year, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we had a lot of time this year to change and go through... ups and downs and just be like, yo, how do we get out of this? And it's like,
I don't know how. My second
voices on my voices in my head, like, and I mean that in not even a bad way. I just mean like these are different parts of my life are like trying to fight each other and balance things out to make a conclusion. Right. And
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's crazy. It's just insane.
It's too much. I feel like because I've been by myself a little bit more this year too, that I'm like really spending a lot of time with myself and like going through my thoughts, and I'm like, whoa, like you need to chill. And I feel like also like when I take edibles, it actually enhances everything so much more. Like I am bouncing from one thought to the other. I am literally that meme with like the whiteboard with like pens and like things connecting. And I was like, I unlock so many thoughts and like realizations. So it's actually like doing the opposite of what it's supposed to.
But
For your texting, I feel like I've gone to a point with you with texting that like when you do text me, I feel so special because I know
how much it meant for you to take the time
to like message. But like I have zero hard feelings. But
no, I'm terrible. I know I'm terrible.
No, but I get feel like really special when you do actually spend the time.
Oh my God.
I realized that for me, when I text people, I think I'm a pretty like good, I have good texting etiquette, but the way that I like to communicate with people, I don't just like say things for the sake of saying it. Like I want to be present with you and I want to be able to really provide the thought. So like I have noticed that like I take a little bit longer replying back to someone, but that's also because like I'm not in a mental state where like I want to be present and give you all the attention that you deserve for this story. And if I'm not in that space, then like I just try to stay off it because like I want to send you a thoughtful message back. And
not just really like a rushed one. Exactly. Yeah. No. So I get that. And you definitely are a great texter in terms of like there's sustenance and it actually connects things and makes things go. Like I think being a rush texter, I'm a terrible texter as well. Like I have typos and all this kind of shit. I just like don't.
You text one word per bubble. Yeah.
I still think this is BBM. Like I literally do this in Slack. People are like I've left my last job and they were looking at who did the most Slack messages and it was me. I was like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. How about you set like one letter per bubble? Like,
basically. Yeah. And I suck at that. That's why like it gives me 10 times more anxiety because I'm just like, I have so many things I want to say and I'm just like trying to explain it. And people are like, I didn't get a single thing you're trying to talk about. But no, that's my resolution. Like, let's try to be better, you know?
So funny because for someone who says they have such a hard time communicating, like you're literally in the business of communication and sharing stories.
That's why I'm just exhausted. I'm like, I don't want to do perfect grammar. I don't even fucking want to think about it. And maybe that's just like me lashing out. And there's definitely this part of me, and tell me if there's one part in you that's like, I guess I'll call this like the Evie voice. That's like, just relax and stop caring about other people. Mm-hmm. It's very small, but like, it's pretty strong too. Yeah. And it'll be like, the moments like something arises, like, oh, can you check your email for this? I will literally be like there's this part of me that I'm like, no, fuck no. I'm gonna sit here and be high and just no, I'm not fucking checking it. And then my other people, like the other parts will be like, no, I think you should like, you know, it's people are gonna get mad, like whatever, time's coming down. And so like that little voice and that little part of my head, like I do love that voice because I think it's really important and something I try to grow. But right now it's like in an unhealthy state where I think it's really extreme. Like it has to be like, no, don't answer. Don't do anything, blah, blah, blah. But like, hopefully and eventually it's like, you know, just take your time with it and do it when you're comfortable. You have that part of you that's like, that fights for your relaxation. And it's like, you deserve this after everything. Like you deserve. Yeah.
It could be like the smallest thing. Like, okay, so example, I wrapped up this project, but the guy that I was working with was really delayed in sending my payments for like 2 months.
Oh no.
So like every month I kept having to chase him and it kind of did end on kind of like a sour note, but like I kept trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then on the last time, like he was supposed to, like within 2 weeks of December, he was supposed to send me like the last payment and he was late again. And I kept following up with him. And I, you know me, like it was due on like the 14th. So yeah. I messaged him a couple days before, but like, hey, confirming whatever. And no, then on the day of, he didn't like reply back to me. And like it ended and finally I got all the payment or whatever. But knowing me, like I am such like a person of like, I had all these like things I want to tell him, be like, this is so unprofessional. Like I am kind of leaving with like a really sour taste in my mouth, blah, blah, blah. But then I was like, no, Jazz, like take the high road. And I actually did end up sending him after all of that. He like locked me out of Slack and like email, which like I didn't need, which is totally fine. But I literally still sent him an email to be like, hey, like, thanks so much. Just confirming I got the payment, wishing you all the best, like happy holidays. And like, that was me internally battling, be like, okay, what is the
what do I do?
Walking away from this situation, like sure, it's a small world. Like I'm probably gonna whatever. Like I was like, I had these like internal battles and I make lists of like what would make me feel better down the road have I done versus like what didn't I need to do. So like the bargaining that my brain does to like make a situation okay is like a fucking, it's a lot.
No, it's a full body experience. I can imagine what your brain processes. And I think like what you did was an evolution, honestly. Like of what maybe I would have like, I'm so scared of confrontation, but I would have done something like more sketchy, like not sketchy, just like in a more passive aggressive way. But like, you're right. I think what you did was just like, you know, what do you want to see in the, like, how do you want to feel about this after you go, right? Like, you know, it's already sour. It's already kind of weird, but like, do we want to remember this as that? Like, do we want to remember our last thing as that? And I think that's already us growing and like all this stuff. But yeah, it's all that to say, like the bargaining and the banter that we have in our own heads is so exhausting. Like it's like doing a second job, third job, like, but for every single thought that happens, like every single thing, like every interaction, you're like, here we go. It's going down. But like, it's just so quick and it just happens, right? Like we don't even have time to like think about not doing it. It's just like already starting. So like, that's, I think what we're talking about, we're talking about like this jealous thing. And at the end of the day, I've met some, I mean, a lot of these fucking people that have no secondary thought before they say anything. But some of these people are fucking assholes. Like, and they actually just like think what they say is amazing when really what they're saying is so insensitive and unempathetic. So I am happy that I have that, this is not a bounce. I'm happy that I have not the immediate thought to just yell at something and just be like, this is what it is, blah, blah, blah. I don't even have the confidence like that to even do that. Like I had to put it in my head, but like, I do think that we need to trust ourselves more. Like I've always said this, like, we need to trust our, like our instincts a lot more and, knowing all the tools that we do to try to like talk to ourselves. Cause like, again, this is, it really is like a full-time job from the moment you wake up and then you have a job and then you have other jobs after
obligations,
like, and just like, we're exhausted. I don't even understand how we function in this world. Like being that exhausted. I don't get it, to be honest.
I feel like the one area that I've seen growth in where I don't care as much is like, I've been picking up more shifts at Aritzia because like I had some more time and like, obviously it's like holiday shoppers, return policy. If you think about like Jazz, like circa like 2016, like enforcing the return policy, like I fought tooth and nail. And, but now with like TikTok and like, you know, being like socially canceled, I'm definitely trying to be more like kinder and like empathetic. And also I've really realized that like, it's not my money that I'm giving back. Like I'll give you the refund, but like,
it's not my own money. Yeah.
The way I see customers approaching being like, hey, I want to return this. I look at their receipt. It's like a month old and I do my spiel and they're immediately on the fence, but like, I want to speak to the manager. And then like before, I think I would have been like, you know, say all this spiel to be able to answer objections, which I like, I fucking thrive off of. But then now I'm just like, I make them look so stupid, like getting all heat up about something. And I'm like, no worries, make the exception for you today. And then I'll just like do it. And then they end up like profusely thanking me afterwards, being like, yo, like before, like I used to care, but now I just like let it go. And I feel like that's like me growing, like I've let it go.
No, that's huge because you're realizing like the space you need. Like, do you need to be dealing with this for the next 40 minutes and then getting everybody involved? No, like obviously there's exceptions to the rules. Don't all bombard her at Aritzia. We're not telling the location to get your shit back.
No.
But like, honestly, like, I think that's giving yourself space. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to leave work being like, I had all these fucking customers.
I carry so much home. Yeah.
No, I fought with every single one of them and I still didn't get my way. You know, like, that's just so much. Now you have the power to be like, look, I told you everything.
Yeah.
I'll make this exception, but I'm making this exception. If I see you ever again, like, I'll remind you of this exception again, right?
Yeah,
like,
whatever. Exactly. It's an exception because it's a one-time exception. Doesn't mean you get to continue to do this. But
no.
I mean, we can go on about the stories at Aritzia, but to wrap up our self-learnings, is there anything else you feel like 2022 was good to you before?
Was good to me. Good. The events of the world were terrible, which was not good to anybody, but also not my mental health in this world, like, for sure. But I think if there's anything good that happened, it's just like, I mean, maybe this is like, not it's every year, but like, I feel like me and you, like, we really endured so much this year. Like, people and listeners might think like, oh, where have you guys been? It's been really chaotic, like, up and down changes, and not, you know, as usual, being who we are and like how we grow up and as Asian women, like, not giving ourselves enough time to fully grasp the change, especially when it comes to even work or anything, before we just jump into the next thing, right? Like, we just did it. And I don't think that's always a healthy move, obviously. Like, people give themselves time and rest to do this stuff. And if they can, right, if they can afford it, and hopefully most people can, but I think for us, like, we used to pride ourselves a lot on work. Work is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Work is like being employed, or like, you don't want to be 30 not knowing what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. But I actually, like I said, I don't think there's a problem with that. You get to know yourself so much more. We've already spent our whole lives trying to get good grades, trying to help our family get passports, trying to do all that. And then also trying to like hold on 3 jobs since we were like 14. Like, it's just like, it's just.
So many people do more with less. And like, I don't know why I was trying to be a high achiever. No one's giving me a fucking reward. No one's giving me recognition.
No. And like, what do you get out of anyone else's recognition, which is important, of course, like words of, for the people that are really close to you, that are your family and like your loved ones, you hope you get that, right? That's what you accept and like learn each other's love languages. But like, why do we need it for even more people? Like, we don't. Like, it's time that we need to, like, you know, think about ourselves more. And at the same time, not lose our character. Because again, we love where we come from. Like, I love my families. I still love our custom of how we serve people. I love what my family's taught me about being selfless. But like, selfless also means having agency yourself to be selfless. Like, don't just be selfless for the sake of being selfless because you think someone's gonna be like, thank you so much. Like, you're the best. Like, whatever, let me give you this. Like, this is not what we do. And like, we don't need that. Like, I think we can give ourselves those kind of affirmations. So for me, like, it's still going to be a struggle, but that's like one thing I'm really trying to learn. Like, I don't, I just need to find ways to think about myself more. That's like something that I think is positive, is that I've made growth on that despite all like the changes and everything.
That's good.
How about you?
I feel like, being able to spend time with myself and like be kinder to myself too. Cause I just battle so much with like allowing myself to relax and like being proactive, but also letting like fate take its course. Like, I will say like the last few weeks has been quite like the darkest time. I think with like job transition and like looking for something new, I did sit in this place where I felt like maybe like the last project that I took on was like kind of a waste of time. Like, I was in this like really low place where I felt like I wasted the last few months doing this project, and that I actually got dumber and like slower at my job. And I felt like, because I kept getting rejections with jobs that I was applying, that like I wasn't good enough. And like, I was like really sitting in this like dark low spot, and like, I don't usually get like this. And like, I'm good at, you know, kicking myself out of it to be like, okay, well, like, what's the next plan? And I think I let it go a little bit longer than it needed to. And like, honestly, like, bless Leo. He was so supportive and like really helping me like action, but like allowing me to like feel what I need to feel as well. But then I think the time just like ran its course for me. And like, I just kicked myself into gear, be like, okay, Jazz, like, let's figure this shit out. Like, no more wallowing. And like, it's so funny how like God works in like his ways too. Like, I went on this like directory website with all these agencies, and I selected every single agency that was in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and I found every single one of their emails, and I wrote a cold pitch email to be like, hey, these are my skill sets, like, would love to work with you guys. And within the same day, I got 2 interviews booked. And like, I just did like those instant like gratifications to be like, holy shit, like, I am okay, like, I am able.
So you're like, fine. Yeah, you just needed the time. And I mean, again, bless your partner for helping you through that time, right? Like, it's so hard to do it alone, especially when you feel like growing up, your whole goal was to be successful, like have that. You saw that as success. So like, it's so hard to break out of. And I think that's amazing you went and did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listeners, no, do this stuff.
Well, no, I'm not saying this is like the only way, but like, I guess my learning from that was like, it's okay to like wallow and like be in a dark space. But like, yeah. I think, yeah, maybe I needed that to kind of like bounce back. But yeah, I think it'll be a continuous learning for me, but like not to attach my self-worth to a job. I think it's going to be a lifelong lesson for me, but I feel like I hope to get better and better that I don't ever like lose myself in like a profession, you know?
No, definitely. No, yourself first. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into your gears. Yeah. No, I'm like, let's get into your, cause you know, Jazz is a pop culture queen. What was your top TV show, movie? What hit for you this year? Cause people need to know.
I know, but then, so I was looking, I have a notes where I put out every single TV and like movies that I want to watch, like I don't forget. And I was looking through it and I felt like I actually didn't watch that many movies that I loved. But one thing that stands out was I watched The Fallout. It's an old movie, but it's with Jenna Ortega, who plays Wednesday Addams.
Yes.
And even before Wednesday Addams, like I thought she was such a great actress. And it's about like a high school shooting and the two girls that kind of like experience it together and like the fallout after it. And like, it was such a true depiction of like, I feel like high school experience. And like, I thought they played it really well. So like, that was one of my favorites. But I think in terms of like pop culture, I did think that White Lotus season 2 was my favorite. But unpopular opinion, it wasn't for like the storyline of the show more so, but I think the Monday morning discourse about it on a Sunday, like something about like everyone tuning in at the same time on a Sunday.
I know, it's
and
fun.
Then talking about a week after is like, nothing gets me more wet than like that experience with everyone else. And like, I just have so many like group chats and like theories, and like my For You page was like crowded with all these like thoughts, and like it did get like theory fatigue in a way. Like,
All the time. Always that, yeah.
But I love that community feeling of like everyone watching something together and like having their own thoughts. That I really found that special.
That's awesome. I love that, and I think that many would agree. And I also know that you like, was there any particular moment like in pop culture that you were like, oh, this is something I'm going to remember for sure?
Kind of silly, but I'm not the biggest like comments reader, but I know on TikTok comment section,
it's huge.
Like, where it is.
Love it.
I had like a couple of favorite like comment moments on TikTok this year. Was there's this one guy who was telling a story about, I think he was at like a party in Hollywood a long time ago, and it was like he ended up stealing Paris Hilton sunglasses, and then it's been like the traveling sunglasses with his group of friends. And then Paris Hilton wrote in the comments being like, oh, like, don't blame you, King, like it was totally fine. And like, I just loved that moment of like TikTok bringing people together and like Paris being in people's comment.
Love
and
it.
Something similar, like I have found TikTok being more of like a happier place than Instagram. Like I am finding myself
for sure, for sure.
There.
Yeah.
And there's this blog, like TikToker named Alex, and she does a lot of like get ready with me talking things. Mm. And I stitched this girl, and she was talking about like, you know, like so many people. It's so funny because I've never seen that girl, Alex, but I've seen a lot of content about Alex. People be like, oh my God, like I'll buy anything this Alex girl puts me on. And like, so Alex stitches girl talking about like how she started using white eyeliner because she does, and like she can't afford a Dyson Airwrap. Like she's going to try to do her hair with like the tools that she has. And then at the end, this girl who duetted goes, and you know, like Alex, like thanks so much for like, you make me feel prettier about myself. So it was like just like a really sweet thing.
Wholesome,
and
yeah.
Then this Alex girl duetted her and being like, girl, like guys, this is like, it means so much to me that you guys like follow me and like listen to me, whatever. Like, I forget what her name was, like Lauren, like when you get this, like I want to gift you a Dyson Airwrap for Christmas.
Aww.
And then I go in the comments and everyone's taking the girl being like, girl, like I can't wait for you to wake up and watch this, like she's talking about you. And like, aww. I just like love that community of
people,
like really hyping each other up.
No, they're like, they have this algorithm that's wild. Obviously it's not all good, but like when you get the right stuff, like it's the comments are everything on that app. Like, they're fucking hilarious and sweet and wholesome and like repair your heart. Like, and sometimes like it's amazing.
Yeah. So I love that. What was your memorable cultural moment of 2022?
Man, I honestly like have such a crazy ass memory, like not great, just random pieces of stuff. But everyone knows I love sports like so much.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I love sports. And I thought it was so sick that like Morocco made it to the semis. Like, I think that's so cool.
I didn't understand the cultural significance. Can you give me like a Coles Notes?
Yeah, but basically like they're the first African country to ever make it to the semifinals, which is a huge deal. Wow. Like in all these years. Also, you know, they're also from like they're Arab, and they're also many of them are Muslim faith, right? Like Islam faith. So like it's just so rare to see in these kind of things where there's so many European countries that's dominating. Yeah. And I think it meant so much. And there's like so many great stories for each of the players, like, you know, basically on the team, you know, one of them was they faced Spain and they beat Spain, but like they're literally separated by that little body of water, Morocco mm-hmm. and Spain. It's 2 seconds away from each other. Same with Portugal, and they beat them both. And there is like some long history, you know, of that kind of stuff happening. But that culturally, I thought was really cool. It was really cool to see like all these fans rise up, all these Muslim fans, like have someone to root for. Like, I just thought that was really fucking cool. Like, I just mm-hmm. thought it was awesome. And then, you know, I just think that also it just changes the discourse about everything. It's just sports. It's just whatever. But all those things have such like crazy ass storylines. Like mm-hmm. One of the players who scored the last penalty kick in Spain, his parents were brought to Spain to work as cleaners, like because they couldn't afford their life back home. And then, you know, after all this, he's basically born in Spain. Like, he played for his home team. And I think that's really mm-hmm. cool. Like, not this nationalist thing, but just this whole thing about like immigrant stories and like going back to your roots. I think that's like so cute. I thought that was like, what a cultural moment. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know soccer was like internationally favorite sport, but obviously like, I love that. Like the Korea moments during the World Cup. Yes, like, yes. I mean, the most handsome soccer player, like for
he's
sure.
He's a W spread. He's a W spread.
Oh, he was on Vogue. Oh my God. He was so hot.
Sorry.
Yeah, but he, I love like the cultural things that happen in the World Cup too. Like, I love that Japan, like Japanese fans, like cleaned up the stadium. And then like, I thought like those moments were so cute. And even just like, I don't know, I never actually knew about this Messi guy. And then like hearing about like his storylines and stuff that. Yeah. I do love when like a big soccer and like cultural sports moment, like bring everyone together. I'm so excited for 2024. Like, I hope Korea plays in, like, I love that it's going to be in like North America. So like whatever games that's going to happen.
Oh yeah. I mean, hopefully we can go. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
I think that'd be really fun.
But yeah, it's sort of like you're not equivalent, but a different equivalent to like live watching Lotus. Like, everyone is watching at that moment, and you know Twitter is burning down, but we're like there's still really funny tweets happening and things happening, and it's just like, that's to me amazing. I love it. So that was like, I think it was pretty recent, that's why I can mention that. I'm sure other things happened, but that was like one of my favorite moments. It was awesome.
One thing that I learned this year that fucking blew my mind was that I didn't know how in-depth like fantasy sports teams are.
Oh,
like
my
Genesis
God.
Gave me a breakdown. Like, someone who's like not in sports, I genuinely thought that like people just like pick their players and how they do. No, it is so in-depth. It's a full-time job. I don't know how people do it. And I had this like epiphany today being like, I feel like people who like sports are so lucky because there's like a sport
every day
happening every year, like every throughout day. The entire year. You don't have to miss a season. Like, I wish I was into sports because holy shit, the complexity of these like fantasy things about like the stats and stuff, like y'all, like, I don't know how you have the time.
I don't have the time. My team is really shit, so my fantasy team is meh, but like I enjoy it, honestly.
I get why people are like always checking stats, like if someone's out, like it really like waterfalls into everything and like blew my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it is a really like cute way to keep a community, mm-hmm. like obviously. But like, my team is so bad right now, so I can't talk about it. Well, 2023, your resolution, you're becoming a sports fan.
Maybe. I don't know. I only like when Korea plays. I don't have like any other team.
That's so fair. Like, it's a totally fair, honestly.
I feel like I definitely associate my nationalism to sports team. So maybe I'll wait for it. When's the next Olympics?
Oh man, it got so weird during the 2021. COVID, yeah. So I think it's in I think next year.
But isn't it like a summer Olympics coming up sooner?
Isn't there one next year? Anyways, right. I'll have to look at this.
Okay, so if there's an Olympics, I'd be down for that. But I think, okay, so I think 2023 is going to be a big year as well. Leo and I are thinking of making like a pretty good big sacrifice and moving out of the city potentially.
Oh,
so that we can dive deeper into it in the new year. But
yeah,
so
it's the process. Yeah.
Yeah.
So wild.
So, I mean, it is going to be a gigantic sacrifice, but I think, yeah, it'll be exciting to see what the next year holds. Or what's like one thing you're excited about?
Next year, I'm excited about, I'm excited about, there's a lot of like, well, safely, but like definitely want to go travel. I miss Asia. I think.
Okay. Sorry. I wanted to ask you how your trip to Spain was.
Oh, it was amazing. We'll talk about that. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. But like, no, I really want to, go to Asia. It's been so long. I want to go back to my like, yeah, exactly. My roots, see my family. That's what I'm really excited about. Like, I'm so excited that there's a possibility, a bigger chance that like that might happen. So
nice.
Let's hope.
Yeah, it's the year. Well, yeah. My last favorite moment of 2022 to wrap up this episode is that I finally found a lip liner that color matches that I really like. Thanks to the TikTok algorithm. It's the Charlotte Tilbury Iconic Nude. I feel like, ooh, it's like the best Your Lips But Better color for me.
You know, it was TikTok recommended.
Yeah. So that's been it. Well, I am excited for the year to end and for a fresh start. And hopefully we can figure our shit out and have a bit more consistent schedule.
Definitely. We definitely will when we figure it out. But thank you guys and have an amazing end of this year.
Yes. Happy holidays to everyone. Oh my God. Sorry. Actually, one last story that I'll end with.
Yeah.
I was coming home the other day from work and I was at Bay Subway Station and this guy approaches me and I'm like, he's like, Jasmine? And I'm like, oh hi. Like, Do I know you? And like, I kind of said it pretty blunt because I was like, I was doing such a Rolodex of like, who is this person? And he goes,
yeah.
And it took quite a long time to kind of tell me how he knows me. And he's like, oh, I listen to your podcast.
Oh,
and then he's like,
wow, famous.
Yeah, he was like, the first episode I listened to was about like the whiteness and wellness. And I really liked it. And I was like, oh my God, like, thank you so much for coming to say hi. I completely forget his name, but it was so nice. That was like, that. So I think that's a good way to
end
the story. Yeah, thank you for coming up and saying hi. And thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll be back. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Made In. Email us at hi@imadein.com. We're also on Instagram and Twitter @imadein_. Thank you again.